This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly entertainment podcast. And yes, we are still on break. We'll be back on January 15th, 2020 with our movie extravaganza. We will have an episode this week as well. It's kind of a collection of fun topics. But what I'm here for is the Golden Globes. They happen. Amanda couldn't join me. John couldn't join me. This is kind of a something we wanted to put together real quick. We're trying it, seeing if you enjoy it. If you don't like it, maybe we never do it again. If you do like it, maybe we do it for the Oscars and the Emmys, whatever. But the Golden Globes had their awards just last night, and we thought we would recap them for people that couldn't watch the show, don't want to read a paper. Nobody reads a paper anymore. By the way, I'm your host, Aaron Peterson, if I didn't say that. And just kind of give our own little commentary on the winners and what happened in the events. This is going to be completely unscripted, unedited, random, no music, no nothing. We're just going into it. So if you don't care about A, the Golden Globes, B, me, C, the Golden Globes, then don't listen to this. If you're like, hey, I'm driving to work and I don't mind hearing what this moron thinks about the Golden Globes, continue. Because that's what we're going to do. And remember, it's a non-edited, so if I flub, which I will, you will hear it in all its glory. The Golden Globes, by the way, are a very prestigious accolade given to honorees for their excellence in television and film, both domestic and internationally, on behalf of the 93 members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. This started back in 1944, and for 77 years, the HFPA, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, have given these awards out. And most shockingly, based on the film and television industry history, this year, Netflix has actually secured 24% of the total nominations for a work like Marriage Story, The Irishman, Unbelievable, and The Kominsky Method. So they've really changed exactly how these awards work. Also given during this event were the Cecil B. DeMille Award to Tom Hanks for his distinguished work. I think we can all agree Tom Hanks is the man. And Ellen DeGeneres received the Carol Burnett Award for her outstanding contributions to television on or off the screen. We'll come back to those because those were kind of really special moments. Before we get into it, Ricky Gervais was the host. If you did watch it, I don't know how you felt about it. But if you didn't watch it, let me just say, how do I just say? I think there were moments of greatness and moments of, what was that? I don't know what he was thinking on a couple jokes that he tried. The women director, he had a line toward women directors. Maybe it was just the delivery. I know what his intent was. His intent was, hey, we've made progress because look how many women directors are in the field now compared to 5 years ago. But instead, he just flubbed it. It just didn't work out. I think that was a poorly either timed or thought of joke that didn't work. And I get his point is we've had advancements. There are more women directors in the field. But at the same time, this is always supposed to be the five best directors for the current year. And you should take that for what it is. I understood the point of the joke, what he was trying to get at. And that there's still been progress because more women are becoming directors. But I just feel like, that was a... Now, the Harvey Weinstein joke, if you missed that one, that was a classic. He basically lit the entire room on fire and said, hey, it's all your fault. He was here. Everything he did was because of y'all. Which, there's some truth there. The funniest jokes are when they're true. That one singed. It was horrible, yet accurate. Yet hilarious, yet wrong. So I don't know how I felt about it, and I'm not going to have an opinion on it because I think the show gets shut down if I have one. I think that's how the rule works. I don't know, but I laughed. I laughed out loud. Moving on to some of his other jokes, he had a pretty eclectic monologue, and he would come up with little zingers throughout the show, but he wasn't a constant presence. What he did do, though, at the very beginning was great. I loved it. He lit the room on fire by telling them no one cares about their politicizing and their views on certain things, you know, except for the Australian force that are currently on fire, which he agreed, hey, if you can donate, if you can help support the fires there because that's a catastrophe, then please do so. That said, he also just told them, take your word, thank your people, shut up, get off the stage. It's a great moment because all of us have thought the same thing. Look, whatever side of the political leanings you fall to, which, you know, for Hollywood, mostly it's the left. That's no secret. Whichever side you fall to, we're watching an award show because we love actors. We love Hollywood. We love stories being told. We don't necessarily need your political opinion. It doesn't mean that you can't have one. It just feels like the wrong forum for it. Or, you know, I get where they're going with, you know, you've got a pulpit. There's millions of people watching. This is a great opportunity. But the problem is that it's happened so often, especially the last couple of years, my God, that no one's going to take it seriously because all they're doing is tuning you out as soon as you start talking. That's an honest to God's truth. I mean, I believe that's the truth. So I got what he was saying, thought it was well-timed. The room didn't love it because that's a room full of people that think their opinions are more important than probably most of us think they are. We love watching them. We love, you know, enjoying being entertained by them. Just don't preach to me. That's all he's saying. Just don't preach to the public. And overall, I feel like that was really where his jokes hit or miss stopped. He really pointed the finger directly at Hollywood quite a bit, and that was pretty funny. And making that crack at Martin Scorsese, saying, of course, he hates Marvel movies because of the theme parks, because he can't get in on the rides because he's too short. That was funny. Like, that was top of the line funny. That's enough of that. That was Ricky Gervais. I think he did a fine job. There were moments where I'm like, it's still an award show, man. And they're, you know, these are people that you want that room. And then there were more moments where I'm like, good for you. Good for you. Telling them to take their award and thank their people and get off. I really enjoyed that because we've all thought it. We've all watched an award show and thought, God, just, okay, we get it. Vote. Got it. Got it. Do action. Are you doing any action? And Joaquin Phoenix had a great response to that. Like, hey, we're all taking private jets from Palm Springs and back. Are we really doing enough? Probably not. We're just telling everybody what they should do. And I thought his, and he said it very weirdly because, you know, it's Joaquin Phoenix. What are you going to do? All right, so let's get into the awards. Now I'm going to basically go through each category, tell you who won. I'm going to have commentary on a couple of them, commentary or a few of them, and won't have commentary on a lot of them because I don't want to take you 3 hours to get through this. Okay, so best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television. Stellan Skarsgård for Chernobyl, who made a great joke about not having eyebrows. That's why he's never been noticed, and now he has eyebrows, and now he won an award. Loved it. Loved it. Stellan Skarsgård is the guy who just shows up in everything. Like, he's constantly just popping up, and he's hilarious and very dramatic and great, and he deserves an award for something. And Chernobyl is a great achievement in television, so I definitely feel if you're going to win something, that is the one that you should win for. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series, limited series, or a motion picture made for television. Patricia Arquette won for The Act. Now, I haven't seen The Act, but as soon as she won, everything Ricky Gervais said at the beginning of the show came flooding back. Because if you've ever seen an award show where Patricia Arquette is present, she always has something political to say. Now, granted, she has a lot of personal stake in some of her issues, especially with the transgender community. I respect that, and I understand that. The point is she always has to politicize something, and not just that. I mean, it's always something. And so as soon as she walks to the stage, we all know who've watched many award shows go, oh, here it comes. Ricky, sit down. And he didn't actually poke fun at her afterward, which I respected because he could have easily, and he did not. And I feel like in terms of her political speeches, this is probably one of the weaker ones. It just didn't land. I felt like it was a bit, okay, you know, instead of inspiring, where Michelle Williams, which we'll get to, hers was really well spoken and wonderful, and the rare occasion where I'm like, all right, I mean, I appreciated that. That was moving. I'm moving on. So, best performance by an actor in a limited series or motion picture made for television. Russell Crowe won for The Loudest Voice. So I guess we're all entertained. What? That probably wasn't funny. He wasn't present. He's busy fighting the wildfires in Australia, so he couldn't be there. And that hit home, right? I mean, if you're going to make a point, that's making a point. He had more priorities than coming to an award show. And that's very sad. I hope everyone in Australia, it turns out okay, honestly. I hope the wildlife people that are fighting these fires, that everything works out. Best performance by an actress in a limited series motion picture made for television. Now, I was rooting for Caitlin Dever in Unbelievable or Merritt Weaver in Unbelievable. Neither one of them won. Michelle Williams, Fosse Verdon. She's a great actress. I haven't seen this show. This is one series I haven't seen. I mean, there's 500 scripted series every year. Can't see them all. I just can't. I've tried. But she gave a great speech about a woman's right to choose. And normally, like I said just a minute ago, those are the things where I'm tuning out and I'm like, well, time to refill my cup or go to the restroom, whatever. This was one where I was very moved by her. Best television limited series or motion picture made for television, Chernobyl on HBO. Not a big surprise, really. I don't think anyone was surprised. It's a well-made television show, and they have a pretty great accompanying podcast. I don't like to promote other podcasts, you know, that doesn't help us any, but they have a personal companion podcast for Chernobyl that's actually pretty great to watch. Or listen to. You can't really watch a podcast. I don't even know how these things work. I've been doing it. This is our ninth year. Still don't know how they work. Do you listen? Do you watch? What do you do? All right, moving on. Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical, or comedy. This was a big surprise. Huge surprise. He beat Michael Douglas, Bill Hader, Ben Platt, and Paul Rudd. Rami Youssef for the series Rami, which I have not seen, but I actually heard that it's very good. And Rami Youssef won, very gracious, did a very nice speech. And I'm wishing more continued success to him because he was very nice and seemed like the anti-establishment almost because he just seemed like a regular guy. He didn't seem very Hollywood to me, and I like that. More of that. Speaking of not so Hollywood, best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, or comedy, Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag. Give her all the awards, and I think they are. Literally every award that she's nominated for, she wins, which is great. I think people are going to start hating her. I mean, you could see, Kirsten Dunst was looking a little angry there. She was, no, I'm just kidding. She was fine. But yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge won again for Fleabag. She won the Emmy. She won this. She's going to win everything else. If they do season 3, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people because they realize they're never getting their award. Speaking of Fleabag, best television series, musical, or comedy, Fleabag. It won. Yeah. Woohoo! Everybody loves that show. Watch it if you haven't. It's funny. Best performance by an actress in a television speech who, by the way, I want to say, saved the show because it was right after Patricia Arquette's kind of inducing speech. And that's Olivia Colman for The Crown. It was a big surprise because I was rooting for Jodie Comer and think she should have won, but I haven't seen The Crown. I've seen every other show but The Crown. In the category, and I just feel like Jodie Comer is amazing, but Olivia Colman is too, and she gave a wonderful speech, and she just, you know, she won the Oscar as well, and she just knows how to make a speech that takes the heaviness out of the room. She's just a spark of brightness and light and genuine enthusiasm, which is kind of missing from these events. So it's really wonderful seeing her win. That was very cool. Really loved seeing her win. And like I said, it saved the award before that because the award before that, I was like, oh my God. All right. Best television series, drama, Succession on HBO. Everyone that's watched Succession loves Succession. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I know it's not getting huge ratings, but I'm telling you, that is a show you definitely want to check out. Best original song wasn't Cats. There's a lot of fun at Cats' expense in this show, by the way. And the winner is from Rocket Man, which Rocket Man got a ton of love at the Golden Globes. I'm Gonna Love Me Again. Aw, that's sweet. Best original score for motion picture was for Joker, Hildar Gunnadottir. I know I said that wrong. I'm sorry. I don't think you're listening. But regardless, Joker score won. And I got to say, this is a year which I love movies and television, and I constantly will pay attention to scores. There weren't many that I would say were wonderful. I do think Knives Out, but I'm impartial to that movie because I think it's the best movie of the year. Outside of that, I can't really think of a score for a movie that stuck with me. Maybe Endgame, I guess, possibly. I don't know, but I don't know. Hey, Joker had a very, very haunting, dark, dour score, and that came across. Best screenplay, motion picture, Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah! And I love that he came up, and the first thing he said was something arrogant and pompous, but not arrogant and pompous. Like, it came across that way at first, then you're like, oh. Because he referred to, you know, the one thing when I win a writing award is there's no one to thank. There's just you. You did it. You wrote it. And when it first came across, it's kind of it sounded a little arrogant, right? It sounded a little pompous. It made sense, though, when you think about it. I'm like, you're right. Yeah, I'm a writer. I write a lot. Nobody helps me with it, except maybe an editor. And I feel like he probably doesn't even use one, because he's probably one of those guys where he's like, I can edit all my own stuff. But yeah, so that was an interesting way to do it there, QT. But it was a great win. Glad for him. Parasite was probably the closest. The Irishman was kind of a surprise, because I think a lot of people were talking about that one. So it's nice. I mean, it was a good win. And I'll tell you, I've rewatched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a few times since its release. It is one of those movies, just like Hateful Eight was for me, even though I loved that one the first time. I liked Once Upon a Time. I like it more as I rewatch it. And you start to notice all the detail and love that Tarantino put into that movie. And he made a comment about how Margot Robbie really brightens the world and really improves what's on the page. And I agree with that. I mean, she really created a presence and an era for that film. So good for him. Good win. Best director, motion picture, Sam Mendes for 1917. Now, I know a lot of people were watching that going, that's not even out yet. It came out December 25th. It was supposed to release on Christmas nationwide, and then they changed it because there were too many movies coming out at once. They didn't think they'd stand out, so they pushed it off till January 10th, so it comes out on Friday. Nothing but great word on this film. Nothing but wonderful thoughts and views. This is a movie that I feel like is going to be a major Oscar contender, so be prepared. If you haven't seen it, be prepared. It is wonderful. Now we get to some of the acting, the higher acting awards in movies. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. He beat Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci. Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I will say this publicly, probably the only person sexier than Salma Hayek at this event was Brad Pitt. And that was by sheer charisma. This guy has a coolness factor of 20 on a scale of 1 to 10. He's amazing to just sit in a room and stare at him.
This guy, I love you, Pitt.
He gave a great speech, wonderful, wonderful thoughts, and he made a great joke about why he didn't bring his mom, because every time he stands by somebody, they say he's dating them, and he thought that would be weird. That's just, he's just like a wonderful guy. Just a wonderful guy. I mean, I don't know if he's actually a wonderful guy, but he sure seems like he's a cool guy. He's like a walking Marlboro Man, right? I mean, if you guys remember the old Marlboro Man from, you know, 80s, early 90s, late 70s, that dude, and 60s, I'm sure. I wasn't there for that, but the dude's just cool, man. He just cool. He looks like he should have a Marlboro in his hand at all times. Just fun, fun, fun. And I'm glad he won, because even though he's kind of just being himself, there's a lot of stuff he does in that the movie doesn't work unless he does it the way he did it. Most importantly, he didn't do that right. Nothing works. All right, so moving on. He gave a little, I guess you can call it political. He's like, hey, tomorrow, if you get a chance to be nice to somebody, do it. That's the kind of advice I think we can all respect. I love that. That was great. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture, Laura Dern for Marriage Story. That's a very good movie. I don't personally think it's worth all the hype it's gotten. I feel like it's a story we've seen told a lot. But it was a very good film. The performances were great. Laura Dern was great. So I have nothing really to say, except for I don't count Jennifer Lopez out. I know Hustlers is more of a genre kind of flick. But man, she was really, really great in that. And I think she has a shot. She definitely has a shot at a nomination. I hope she gets one. But I think she has a shot at the award. Kathy Bates was also great in Richard Jewell, so I'm hoping maybe she gets a nomination too. Best Motion Picture Foreign Language, Parasite, and was the winner. And Benju Ho said a great comment where he said, hey, don't let your short-sightedness for subtitles deter you, because you're missing a lot of great film. This is paraphrasing. A lot of great films out there, by not indulging in foreign films. And that was a wonderful and accurate statement. So thanks for saying that, man. Here's a huge surprise. Best motion picture animated, Missing Link. I haven't seen that. Have you? Has anyone? Apparently just the 93 people on the HFPA saw it. But it beat out Frozen 2, which I just saw. I didn't like. I did not like it. I would give it a four. $10 full price admission, I give it $4. The musical numbers were meandering. The story was all over the place. It just didn't. I really, really, really loved the first one, and I just did not like the second one. But anyway, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, The Lion King, Toy Story 4. It beat everything Disney. It beat Disney. It told Disney to suck it. Ah, loved it. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy, beating out Daniel Craig, Roman Griffin Davis from Jojo Rabbit, Leonardo DiCaprio, who, by the way, Ricky Gervais had a great joke on him on how his dates are always so young, which is pretty funny. And Eddie Murphy is Taron Egerton for Rocketman. He basically played Elton John. Not basically, that's who he played. And his performance was wonderful by all accounts. Kind of surprised in this category, honestly. But, well, he won. Now, I got to preface this. If you don't know how these awards work, Golden Globes are not necessarily indicative of what the Oscars are going to be. A lot of time, I mean, you're 93 people versus a body of a couple thousand deciding who the finalists are. So just because Taron won here doesn't even mean he'll be nominated for the Oscars. This is a completely different awards thing. And plus, they have two categories. They have musical or comedy and drama, where the Oscars only have one category, best actor, best actress, you know, and whatnot. It's a lot harder to get into the finalists for the Oscars, so I don't know if he'll get nominated, but he was great. I don't like Elton John, but he was great. Not as a person. I'm sure he's a wonderful person. I'm not a big Elton John music fan. That's really where I'm going. This was a pleasant surprise. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, beating out Ana de Armas for Knives Out, Cate Blanchett, Beanie Feldstein, and Emma Thompson. This is for musical or comedy. Awkwafina for The Farewell. That's a great pick. The Farewell is a movie that hasn't gotten nearly enough love, and she was wonderful. She basically goes to her homeland to visit with her dying grandmother, who doesn't know she's dying. Nobody tells her that she's actually dying. They're trying to hide it, and the whole family gets together on a ruse because they don't want her to know that she's going to die soon. And this is based on a true story. It's a beautiful story, and she did a great job. I didn't know if she was going to be a lead actress because there's a lot of heavy dramatic parts in that movie. You know, even though there is a lot of what Awkwafina does, which is like comedy and just loose and fun, there's some heavy moments, and she does a wonderful job. Like, she's a legit actress. And if you haven't seen The Farewell, be sure to check that out. All right, we're coming up to the finals here. The best motion picture, musical or comedy, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like I said, I feel like it's gotten better over time. Like, the more I watch it, the more I like it. It was up against Knives Out. I don't think it's better than Knives Out. And I'm a huge Tarantino fan. I just don't think this is his magnum opus. I really don't. But it's a great film, and it gets better the more you watch it, and you can appreciate it more the more you watch it. Next up, we have Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture, Drama. Let me just let's talk about some of his words here. He said, when he won, Joaquin Phoenix won for Joker. You know, it's great to vote. He's talking about how everyone is encouraging people to vote throughout the show. It's great to vote, but sometimes we have to take that responsibility on ourselves and make changes and sacrifices in our own lives. I hope that we can do that. We don't have to take private jets to Palm Springs sometimes or back, please. I'll try to do better, and I hope you will too. Thank you so much for putting up with me. I'm so grateful for this night and all of you. Thank you. Now, I will tell you, I thought his speech originally was weird as hell because he's being total Joaquin Phoenix. And what that means is I think he hates being in front of people. I think he's very uncomfortable talking in front of people. And that's ultimately where that came from. That said, had a great time seeing he won because he does give a pretty harrowing performance. He did put his all in it. I mean, it's hard to... There's a lot of great actors in this category, Christian Bale, Antonio Banderas, Adam Driver, Jonathan Pryce. When you think of Joker, what's the first thing you think of? Joaquin Phoenix's performance. He deserved that win. He really did. So I have no problem with that whatsoever, and I just thought his speech was weird. He definitely seemed uncomfortable and like he didn't want to be there. Half of what he said was bleeped out because he would F-bomb the shit out of that place. But still, I'm glad he won. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, Renee Zellweger for Judy. She made mention that she hadn't been there in 17 years or, you know, she kind of took a time away from Hollywood for a long time and now she's back. That was very sweet. Both her and Joaquin were played off the stage because they took so long. I don't think she gave a very memorable speech. It was a little weird and I don't know if she was inebriated, but it came across that way. Well, they both did, honestly. So yeah, she won for Best Actress. And from what I haven't seen Judy yet, but I will watch it before we do our awards. We're actually waiting to do closer to the Oscars this year so we can catch a few of those that we haven't caught yet because they were more limited releases. And even as critics, you can't get all of them. So we'll definitely see that before we do our awards. But congratulations to her. I mean, she beat out Cynthia Erivo, Scarlett Johansson, Saoirse Ronan, and Charlize Theron. So she beat out a lot of people. Best motion picture for drama. The winner is 1917. This one got kind of a what in the room. It beat The Irishman, which many thought was going to clean sweep. And it did not. It actually didn't win much here, which was a surprise probably to everyone in that room. I got to tell you, I really feel Scorsese, which everyone loves. Sam Mendes paid mention to him as soon as he won. I wonder, did he hurt himself by his Marvel comments and being kind of pretentious in that respect? You think maybe he did himself some damage in terms of the voting, in terms of getting his award? I don't know. I mean, it's an honest question. I don't know the answer to that. But I feel like there's probably a lot of people that vote for Oscars, that vote for Golden Globes, that are respectful of that work. I mean, all the Marvel movies are highly respected in critical circles, and they employ thousands of people on their films who are going to vote for Oscars. And that makes me wonder, did him saying that, did him acting like his movies are better than theirs, sour them on him at all? And it might cost him an award. I don't know. I mean, it's an honest question. It's an honest question. And we'll find out once the Oscars happen. All right. Well, that was it for all the major awards. There were two more that were given out on Sunday, January 5th on NBC. And the first was to, I'm going to do them in this order because of how they move me. Charlize Theron introduced Tom Hanks for the Cecil B. DeMille Award, which, like I said, reflects on his lasting impact on the film industry, his three decades of compelling work and what he's done. And they show a great montage or a clip package that even had Love Boat, which he made reference to Love Boat. And man, the guy has just, he's had a career, right? I mean, he has had a career. But she introduced him and mentioned that she was up for a role in That Thing You Do, which she was in, and how Tom Hanks left the room to let her clear her head. And she told this story as a young actress struggling, trying to find her way in Hollywood, and what a nice, kind man he was to let her have 5 minutes to clear her head and get herself together and give the audition that he knew she could give. It was a beautiful story. I'm so glad she told it. And it was very, very touching, especially for, you know, people that love and follow Hollywood. And you know, there's so many, you know, Ricky Gervais's Weinstein joke was true for a reason, because there's so many people that are less than stellar in Hollywood. But Tom Hanks is one of the exceptions. And by all accounts, I haven't seen anyone ever say he's anything but a very nice guy. And she gave a wonderful introduction. Great job, Charlize. And then Tom Hanks came up and gave a wonderful speech. First, he thanked his family. And then he went into his diatribe on Hollywood and his thoughts and winning the award. And you could tell he had a little bit of a cold because he kind of meandered in a couple spots. But it's Tom Hanks, man. He was wonderful. And he deserved an award like that. It was a beautiful moment. And this is probably one of the highlights of the show. Just a definite highlight. Loved everything about that. I wish we could get more Tom Hanks, like, all the time. We could just have, like, a whole Tom Hanks clip package and just whatever else we can do. Just Tom Hanks all the time, man. I just love Tom Hanks. And then we moved on. Actually, this happened earlier. Sorry, I had to get a drink. This happened earlier is that Ellen DeGeneres received the award for the Carol Burnett Award, which is, like I said earlier, outstanding contributions to television on or off the screen. And this one, I mean, I teared up a lot for Tom Hanks. I bawled during Ellen's award, which I never expected to. I like Ellen. She's fine. I don't watch her show. I mean, I've seen a couple clips on YouTube like you probably do, but I don't watch it. Man, Kate McKinnon, Saturday Night Live's Kate McKinnon, also she's been in several things. She was in Bombshell. She's great in that. She came out and told a story about how, you know, Ellen came out on her TV show, which it cost her TV show. It was a huge moment in television and entertainment, and also for a lot of gay men and women across the world to see someone of that stature at that level opening up to them and saying, yay, yes, I am gay, and it's okay for you to be gay. And Kate McKinnon told a story about how much that impacted her because as a gay woman, she didn't know if she would be seen in Hollywood. She didn't know if she would be respected and represented, if she would have the chances at a quote-unquote better life like she wanted. And Ellen DeGeneres is the reason why she was there. And I'm even getting a little choked up just thinking about it. It was a beautiful, beautiful story. And she delivered it with class and elegance and also hilarity. It just, you could tell Ellen DeGeneres didn't see that story coming. And I don't think any of us did, really. I mean, I've never really thought about is she gay or not, but I definitely didn't know that. So, I mean, it felt like, wow, this is the really powerful thing for her to come on this national audience and just tell this story about how much this woman impacted her. It was beautiful. It was very beautiful. And I'm glad that someone, and I'm sure she's not the only one, was impacted by seeing someone on the screen just be themselves. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And then Ellen came up to win her award, which she rightfully deserved. Carol Burnett is an icon. I think Ellen DeGeneres is an icon. And she talked about her career. She poked a lot of fun about how they can't play her off. She can talk as long as she wants. It's pretty wonderful. And she also made it a point that all she wants to do is make somebody a little happier and leave just feeling a little better. If you can brighten up someone's day in some way, then that's the best thing you could do as entertainers. And here's a quote that she said that I found wonderful, and I wish more in entertainment would feel this way instead of, you know, because we've gotten to the point where we're a celebrity obsessed culture. Everything is about celebrity. Everybody's on YouTube. Everybody's on Instagram. Everybody's obsessed with being famous. She's saying in her entire speech is that it's not about fame. It's about reaching people and changing their day, changing their life, helping just improve the quality of life of their everyday goings. And she had this quote, the real power of television for me is not that people watch my show, but people watch my show and then they're inspired to go out and do the same thing in their own lives. They make people laugh, or they're kind, or they help someone that's less fortunate than themselves. Let me say that again, because, like, seriously, I cried. They make people laugh, or they're kind, or help someone that's less fortunate than themselves. That's the kind of people I want an award to go to. If you're going to give an award for a body of work, man, it's hard to argue it. Once I heard those words, I'm just like, wow, she deserves it. Every ounce of it, she deserves it. So congratulations to Tom Hanks, to Ellen, to everybody else that won. Wow. It's just an amazing speeches. Most of the way, there weren't too many drunken shenanigans other than Olivia Colman, who owned hers, which I respect. It was a good show. It was fun. It's always an entertaining award show. Like, to me, the Oscars are, you know, that's the benchmark. The Oscars are where you want to be. And the Golden Globes is always the fun award show, which is, I mean, a lot of people win awards. It's all really actors and it's the top brand. Like, none of the crew gets an award for anything. It's all like the actors, the directors, the writers. And it's really a fame game for that award show. But this was, I thought, one of the better ones. Ricky Gervais was hit or miss. And you could tell he felt that way because he was telling him to F off every 15 minutes or shut up. So he was... And the one thing with Ricky Gervais, I don't necessarily love him because I feel like he thinks he's the funniest guy in the room, and I wish he were as funny as he thinks he is sometimes. But then he'll say a joke that is just downright clever and ballsy, and I respect. So he's hit or miss for me. I thought he did a fine job on the show. I don't think it was great. I'm glad he doesn't get swallowed up by all the ass kissing. He just does his thing. I respect that. I'm a big fan of that. Chris Rock did a good job. Ellen did a really good job with that. So it was overall great award show. And we're done here. We will be coming back. Like I said, there'll be a collection episode this week. January 15th, we're coming back with our movie extravaganza, going through the major releases of 2020 and some little surprises that we found. And hopefully you'll enjoy that episode. We've got a lot of stuff coming out. Our awards episode will be closer to the Oscars. We just felt like that made more sense this year because there's so much stuff. We wanted to try to get to as much of it as we could rather than rushing to get an episode out. Thank you guys for listening. If you liked this little recap, you got to let us know. Feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up in the Facebook group. Let us know, hey, yeah, that was fun. And for the Oscars, if you enjoyed this one, we might do it again for the Oscars. And maybe I can talk Amanda into joining me. John won't do it because John, he doesn't watch the Oscars really. So, but I'm sure Amanda might. So let us know if you really enjoy it and we might do this again. I hope you enjoyed listening to me ramble for almost 40 minutes. Jesus, I didn't say anything that important. God, now I feel like one of them. I won an award. I'm just keep rambling. I'm sorry, guys. I'm out of here. Subscribe. Go to the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a post that'll give you all the winners if you didn't catch all of them. Be sure to subscribe, come back, and whatever podcast feed you're listening to this in, and we will definitely be back with a whole lot of exciting stuff coming up in 2020. Thanks for listening, and remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn. My mouth is so dry. Oh my God.